The annual Sunday Times tax list has revealed the UK's 100 biggest taxpayers, with gambling magnates Fred and Peter Dunne of Betfred topping the rankings for the first time. The billionaires, who established their Warrington-based business in 1967, contributed about £400 million in tax over the past year, a near 50% increase on their previous year's bill. And collectively, we are told, the top 100 taxpayers paid £5.7 billion in tax. That's a big rise from the £4.9 billion, which was recorded the previous year. Let's talk about this with Mike Lewis. Mike is director of TaxWatch, which is an investigative think tank shining a light on who pays tax, who doesn't, and why. Hello, Mike.
Hi, good evening.
Well, given the secrecy surrounding the affairs of the super rich, how can the Sunday Times really know how much they're worth, which is the only true measure of how much, as a percentage of the wealth that they have, they pay in tax?
Well, you've really put your finger on it there. So there are, you know, undoubtedly some real kind of tax heroes on this list who are paying their fair share, who aren't playing offshore games with their tax residents or elaborate offshore shell companies or trusts. But as you say, neither we nor the Sunday Times can actually know what any of these individuals pay in tax, because in this country, as in many countries, individuals' tax affairs are secret. And so what the Sunday Times has done instead is add up all the taxes, corporation tax, employers' national insurance, everything else that's paid by the massive companies that most of these individuals own. And then it attributes all of that tax entirely to the people who own the companies, those companies' shareholders, which is not how you or I would understand personal tax. And as you say, the total amount of tax that the Sunday Times attributes to these people has gone up quite a lot this year. But that's basically because the rate of corporation tax is rising over time.
Yes, it seems to me like a sleight of hand, isn't it? Because the tax that is recorded as having been paid is from income, but that's not where the wealth is. I mean, that's in the appreciation in the value of their assets, which gets taxed at a much lower rate, or in many cases, not at all.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, there's two things to say. One is that if you look at wealthy people's anonymized tax returns, which obviously the Sunday Times doesn't have access to, but researchers do look at them. If you look at those tax returns, what you see is that over about half a million pounds, people's tax bills actually decrease as a percentage of their income and gains as their income goes up. So our personal tax system is actually regressive over about half a million pounds. But obviously that's not the depiction that these very, very large, sort of freakishly large numbers in this tax list make it look like.
Yes, the Sunday Times seems to be in the business of putting the halo of piety around people who have done particularly well. I mean, it seems odd that their number one stars in this list are two men who get their money from other people losing theirs.
Well, look, setting aside how people make their money, and as you say, you know, we can argue about the merits of how much these people get paid. We can argue about, for example, as you say, the pros and cons of the gambling industry or other industries that these people represent. But I wouldn't want to take away from the fact that there are, just in tax terms, some people on this list who clearly do pay their fair share. They get paid through the payroll of their companies, just like us. They pay income tax and employers' national insurance. But they're sort of mixed in this list, indistinguishably, with CEOs and celebrities who've actually taken steps to reduce their UK personal taxes in ways most people can't. So there are people on this list, for example, who are getting paid via, you know, offshore service companies in zero tax jurisdictions. The 2024 tax list even included an individual who's not nine-figure tax bill, which put him on the list, was the result of the UK's largest ever tax fraud conviction. So to name all of these people as tax heroes, I think if I was somebody on this list who was paying their fair share, I'd be a bit annoyed to be mixed in with a lot of other people who perhaps aren't.
Yeah, you said that the taxation is regressive after a certain amount. The law is regressive as well, because the law is written, I would imagine, by the people who would benefit from being able to hide or disappear their enormous wealth from the taxman. It's the kind of thing that is you know, available to the super rich. They can employ shiny buildings full of genius accountants who can just disappear their money, whereas an ordinary person wouldn't be able to do any of that, and so has to pay the exact amount that the government requires of them.
Well, there's one thing about how the law treats different kinds of income and gains. And as you say, the more well-off you are, the more likely you are to get some of your income as forms of investment income or dividends or capital gains in ways that are taxed less than, you know, you and I would be taxed on our pay-as-you-earn income tax bill. But then there's a separate problem about people not paying what is due. So, you know, avoiding and evading tax. And one thing we can see from HMRC's own statistics is that what they call the wealthy tax gap, that's to say that the due taxes that are avoided or evaded by around about the 800,000 most wealthy people, has increased by about 50% since 2021. And it's now nearly the same as all the unpaid taxes of all the 35 million other individual taxpayers combined. So, you know, although, as I said, there are people on this list who earn a kind of eye-watering amount and also probably pay an eye-watering amount of taxes, there is a big problem at the top end of the income distribution about people not paying what is simply due.
And the people at the top, they don't become billionaires through their wages. They become billionaires through the appreciation of their assets. So why should corporation tax and capital gains tax be set at half the rate of income tax? It's about 25% for corporation tax, 24% for capital gains versus 45% top income tax, or 60%, there's a marginal rate due to the tapering off of personal allowance between 100,000 and 125,000. So those people who earn, you know, £100,000 are paying double the amount that a billionaire is paying for the appreciation of his assets.
Well, the argument about investment income being taxed less than income that you or I would pay on our wages is, I suppose, that tax has been subject to corporation tax already, and then it's paid out, for example, as dividends from a company. And so the idea is that you shouldn't tax that amount as much. Now, it still is just about tax advantageous for people to get paid in dividends rather than in ordinary income and pay ordinary income tax on it. But that wedge between the two has, to be fair, been decreasing over time, and the last budget decreased that wedge more by raising a tax on dividends. But, you know, the much kind of more complex question is the fact that, as you said at the start, wealthy people are often able to construct quite complicated ways to receive their income, in whatever form it comes, in forms of trusts or complex offshore structures. And it's really not clear necessarily that HMRC is getting on top of some of those kinds of very complicated tax arrangements.
A story that we've read a lot lately, we keep being told by those in the business of acting on behalf of the super rich that they are leaving due to taxes, that we can't tax these people because they will go and we will miss them when they're gone. But the top 100 taxpayers, according to the Times, paid £5.7 billion in tax last year, which is up from £4.9 billion. So that's £800 million more than the previous year. Doesn't that indicate the story of Exodus's fabrication?
Well, there are two things to say about that. First of all, as you say, Immigration and HMRC's own data shows absolutely no sign of above average emigration of the wealthy. And indeed, 80% of British millionaires that were polled by a group called Patriotic Millionaires support more taxes on the super rich. But the other thing to say, as you say, is that the tax list that's published today actually shows the limits of this anxiety about, the super wealthy leaving the country and that damaging taxes and investment and economic activity in this country. Foreign resident company owners only make it onto this tax list because their companies make huge profits and pay huge amounts of tax here in the UK, which the list then includes in these people's tax contributions. So in other words, even if billionaires want to go live in a tax haven, they're still going to have their businesses in places like the UK because their markets, their consumers, their workers are here and they can't take those with them to Monaco. And these real economic activities will generate employment, growth, and crucially, they'll generate taxes here, which is how these owners of UK companies who live abroad nonetheless get included in the Sunday Times list. So, you can't have it both ways. If you're praising the fact that, companies owned by people who no longer live here are still generating a lot of enterprise and tax in the UK, then you can't in the same breath argue that these people's departure is depriving Britain of enterprise and tax revenues. It just doesn't make any sense.
But so let's take the example of somebody who is a trader, a billionaire trader, and they've made an ungodly amount of money, and they decide that because they can't contemplate the notion of losing a single solitary penny of it, that they're going to go and live in some place like Dubai or Monaco. Should those people who leave the country that supported them to become successful, now, whether they use the NHS or not, the people that they rely on use the NHS and public schools and the roads, and they relied on the police and the fire engine and all of that stuff, should they be able to just up sticks and leave and take all of the money that this country helped them make? Do we not need a punitive exit tax?
Well, there's a question about whether people should be taxed on their way out. And one wouldn't want to be restraining people from moving where they want to move and living where they want to live, however wealthy they are. But I think the point about people like that who are, have a lot of money and are having to invest it, of course, in real businesses, in real places, is that real businesses have to be in real places. So if a trader moves to the United Arab Emirates or Dubai or Monaco or wherever it is, their money is still going to have to be invested in businesses in real places, because, as I said, that's where people buy things, that's where people work for companies, that's where, markets and consumers are. And so even if somebody's living in Dubai, the real question for the UK is, are we making somewhere like the UK a decent place to build real economic activity and real businesses with real people? And quite a lot of the things that make that possible, make it possible for businesses to flourish in this UK, are all the things, of course, the tax pays for, decent education and educated workforce, good public infrastructure, roads, schools, hospitals. These are all the things that make it possible for businesses to flourish. And that is what will ultimately attract investment.
And yet people still do go. And we're told that, it's because of Keir Starmer or whoever happens to be in number 10 at the time. And they're allowed to do that because countries play off each other. Come here to Ireland and we will charge you less than if you stayed in London, or come to Luxembourg and we'll charge you practically nothing at all. Isn't it about time that all countries had the same punitive exit taxes to prevent the siphoning off of the wealth that ordinary people have helped make, siphoning it to a computer screen in an empty building in some tax haven in the middle of an ocean? Shouldn't, for the benefit of humankind, isn't it about time that we stop them doing this?
Well, one of the things that that all governments have agreed in the last since 2021 is that at least to have a set of minimum taxes on corporations, and because people own corporations, and corporation tax is effectively a kind of withholding tax, a sort of backstop on individual taxation. What that means is that it's much less possible for people to shift companies, at least, into tax havens and benefit from zero taxes there. One of the most disappointing things we saw in January of this year is that the G7 group of nations, at the behest of the US, at the behest of Donald Trump, decided to exempt US-headed firms, and of course then, the billionaires that own many of those US-headed firms, exempt them from these globally agreed minimum taxes. And the UK went along with that, along with everybody else. And so I think there have been in recent years ways to stop that kind of mobility of taxable income into tax havens, but it's gradually being watered down. And unfortunately, the UK is part of that.
And it's been watered down to an extraordinary amount, which seems to be getting worse by the minute. The wealth of the five richest people on Earth doubled since COVID. It went up for five people. It went up from $340 billion to $869 billion. $869,000 million, five people. I mean, that's America. And it's also true here. I mean, it's a transference from the rest of us to those at the very top, which seems to be accelerating. That's unsustainable, isn't it?
Well, I think there clearly is a problem with, you know, and that's something that you can see in the tax list that's been published today. You know, the reason why these people are being praised for paying eye-watering sums of tax is because they are making eye-watering sums of money. And as I said, we can debate the pros and cons of the salaries and the incomes that these individuals get. But, you know, the really important thing is whether people at this income level are not how much they're paying, but whether they are paying the same kinds of percentages of their income and their gains in tax as the rest of us. And unfortunately, we see that our own country's personal tax system is allowing people to pay less the more they earn over, you know, several hundred thousand pounds. There absolutely is a question about how we really capture the money that, you know, this real sort of extreme top tier of people are making.
Good to talk to you, Mike. Thanks very much for that. That's Mike Lewis, director of Tax Watch, which is an It's a think tank that investigates taxes, shines a light on who pays, who doesn't, and why.